Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host here today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And in her absence today is Minister Tabika Garnes. You know, she's a love of my life. Thanking God for the connection that was a divine connection with her and her husband being with me in ministry and loyal and faithful. And I praise God for her. And she's out on assignment right now. And you know, she may be able to check in throughout our conversation. She might be able to check in. Whatever the case may be, you know, we have to go on without her in full force this morning. But please know that she still sends her love and her best, you know, to each and every one of us. So again, I say good morning to you. It's another beautiful Sabbath day, another day in which we can worship God and give him the glory and the honor, because he is truly, truly worthy to be praised. He is worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. I pray that you all have had a wonderful week and that you came today with expectation, with expectation of what God has placed on my heart to share on today. And with that being said, let me say good morning to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, my love, my dear heart. God bless you. Love you much. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson, our longest standing listeners on this show. So good morning to you. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. God bless you. Prophetess Dorn, God bless you. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago and Rob in Pennsylvania. Good morning to Denise in Pennsylvania as well. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Good morning to the members of New Vision that come on and share in this hour with us. Good morning. Praise be unto God. To Nikki, too. One of the members from our Bible study here where I live. Good morning to you, beloved. Good morning. Good morning to, I think I hit just about everybody, but good morning to each and every one of you. And those of you that I don't call out by name, it's not that I love you any less. Is that I don't know everybody's number, and I couldn't go through everybody's number, but I try to call out the people that have been the most faithful, you know, just as a way of saying thank you, thank you, thank you for always supporting New Vision, for always, not New Vision, I'm sorry, Heart to Heart, always supporting Heart to Heart, and it means the world to us. As Minister Tabika says, when she's addressing you, that you could be doing anything, you could still be in bed, and you might be right now in bed listening to the show. That's okay, but you didn't have to call in. You know, you could be someplace else or preparing to go someplace else and just figured, you know, I'm not going to bother listening in today. But you chose to listen in, and for that, we do say thank you. I'm telling you, it means the world to us. We light up as we see the numbers, the telephone numbers showing up on the board. You know, it just really does something to us. So, again, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We couldn't have this show without you. We really couldn't have, it wouldn't be as much fun, and it wouldn't be worth it having it without you. I mean, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and that is, you know, us sharing our hearts with you, you sharing your heart with us, and all of us sharing our hearts with God, and prayerfully we hear Holy Spirit sharing the heart of God back to us. So again, we say thank you for chiming in on your Sabbath day, on Saturday, period. We just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise be unto God. So let's go ahead and open in prayer. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you, we honor you, we bless you. We magnify your holy name, Lord God, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and there is none like you. Father, I thank you for this day. It is the day that you have made. And Father, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And there are many, I know, Lord God, that have a hard time rejoicing in a day where they are sick, physically, mentally, financially, spiritually, Lord God, where they are depressed and so forth. But Father, I'm praying that the very fact, God, that you allowed us to see this day, that in itself is enough to give you praise, enough to give you honor. There is not another person alive, Lord God, that deserves to be worshiped, Lord God, in the good times and in the bad times. There's not another one, Lord God. So, Father, I stand in the gap for every person on this line that we will rejoice in this day. We will take the time out to say thank you, Lord God. We will take the time out to count our blessings for the day, Lord God. We will take the time out, Father, to give you the glory and the honor. So we do thank you, Father. Lord, I lift up every single person on this line, that may that every need that they have be met. For you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, O God. You are the one that provides the need, the food, the clothing, the shelter. What kind of God would you be if you only took care of the birds, O God? If you only took care of other animals, Lord God, and you let man not be taken care of. But God, you were mindful of us. You provided the food, clothing, and shelter. You are providing for us on every side. And for this, we do say thank you, Lord God. I thank you because you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Lord God. Father, you healing us. You have healed us. Forgive me, Lord God. You have healed us according to your word. By the stripes on your dear son's back, we are healed in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And I know that bodies have symptoms of illnesses and things that don't line up with your word, Father. But I am praying, Father, for the manifestation to come about in the name of Jesus. I am praying, oh God, that we don't give up on believing that you are our healer. And as one being our healer, you're also our deliverer, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that as we realize who you are, as we realize who you are, every name that has been given to you is an attribute that you have, Father God. And Father, as we grab a hold of that, as we begin to walk in that, as we begin to acknowledge that, Lord God, these things will be manifested in our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we will come to the place where we not only will call your name out as an attribute because it's what we learned, but Father, we will be able to call that name because it's who we know you are, Lord God. We've experienced you as the healer. We've experienced you as the deliverer. We've experienced you, Lord God, as our provider. We've experienced you as Jehovah Shalom, our peace, oh God. We've experienced you, Lord God, as Jehovah Sikhanu, Lord God, being our righteousness, though God. Father, we've experienced you in each and every one of these areas. Father, we Thank you, Lord God, that you have become real to us, oh God, and you stayed with us, oh God, as we went through our seasons of doubt, our seasons of not knowing, our seasons of questioning. But, Father, you, Lord God, let us know you, Lord God, for ourselves, not just on somebody else's experience, oh God, but we know you for ourselves. Father, I thank you, Lord God. Father, I ask forgiveness for any sins that we have committed, whether it was in word, thought, or deed. I ask forgiveness, Lord God, when we sin because we didn't do what you told us to do, Lord God. Forgive us in the name of Jesus. And may a spirit of repentance flow on this line, oh God, that we would turn away from our ungodly ways, oh Father, that we will turn away from our ungodly ways, Lord God, that we would walk in the your way, your will, not our will being done, but your will being done. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you as you lead us, as you guide us, oh God, as you keep us covered, oh God. You have clothed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you, for we cannot be right in our own flesh, Lord God. We cannot be right in our own standing, Father God, but you clothed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Father, for this we do say thank you, Lord God. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world. And Father, we cannot do the will of God without the help of Holy Spirit. So thank you, Father, for giving us Holy Spirit, Father, for giving us he who empowers us, Lord God, to do the will of the Lord. For you did not leave us, Lord God, clueless. You did not leave us helpless, Lord God. But, Father, you gave us the helper, oh God. You gave us he who comforts us, oh God. You gave us he who gives us wisdom, Lord God. Father, you left us, Lord God, with Holy Spirit, Father, that would give us everything we need to lead and to live the life you desired for us to live. Father, for this we do say thank you. For this we do say that we praise you. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. Father God, there are several people I know this week, Lord God, that are celebrating homegoing for many relatives, Lord God, many that I know that are doing so this week coming up and in the week that we're just ending, Lord God. Father, I ask you, as you've given us again, Holy Spirit, our comforter, to comfort those that are grieving in this hour, in this day, Lord God, those that are grieving, those that feel that they're suffering from the loss of a loved one. Father, fill that void in the name of Jesus. Let them know, Lord God, that you will never leave nor forsake them. Lord God, them come to a place of gratitude if their loved ones have known you personally and that are now resting with you in heaven, Lord God. Father, I thank you again that you will comfort these families, Lord. Father, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you, I honor you, I bless you. I magnify your holy name, Lord God. Father, also as you have forgiven us, Father, that we may forgive every single person, oh God, that has ever done anything to hurt us, to harm us, to disappoint us, oh God, in any way, shape, or form. Let nothing that they have done to us keep them from knowing you as Lord and Savior. We pray for those, oh God, who have not yet given their lives to you, Lord God, that their souls may be saved in the name of Jesus. You said, Lord God, that this is your will, that all of us, Lord God, would walk with you again, that we all, you made provision for that through the blood of your Son, Lord God, through the life and the death and the resurrection of your Son. Father, we do thank you. We do honor you. We do bless you. In Jesus' awesome, magnificent name, amen and amen. Amen, saints of God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise be unto God. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, beloved, I am excited about today. And we have many new callers on today. So let me say this. Those of you, as we are discussing what we will be discussing today, if you decide that you would like to ask a question, I will not promise you that I have an answer for every question that is asked, but you may ask your question. If you have a remark that you would like to make, if you have a testimony that you would like to share, you can do all of that by pressing 1 on your keypad. When you press 1 on your keypad, I will know that you have something to say, and we will open up the lines to let you share here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. We want to know what's on your heart, so don't be afraid to talk. Please do not be afraid to share what it is that you want to say. Now, we have in these last, I guess now it's been almost a month, we've been talking about loving yourself, you know, how is it dealing with the scripture where the Pharisees asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment, and he told them that, you know, there were two, he gave two laws and commandments that they could do. One was loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Love him. Love the Lord thy God. And with all of that being said and done, then love your neighbor as yourself. And a lot of people love God and then love their neighbor, but they don't love themselves. So they're not able to love their neighbors to the fullest capacity because they have not yet learned how to love themselves. So we concentrated, you know, for a couple of weeks on loving ourselves, how it's not a sin to love yourself. That is the commandment of Jesus unto us, you know, that we love ourselves. We have to love ourselves the way that God loves us. We can only do that first in loving God and understanding that. And then we love ourselves, praise be unto God. That's not being selfish and self-centered. There are those who love themselves, and they are selfish and self-centered, you know, self-absorbed. You know, it's all about me, 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 me. And that's not the type of love we're talking about. That's a place of arrogance, okay, a place of self-conceit, a place of even self-righteousness. And that's not the type of love we're talking about. Loving yourself as God loves you. Love yourself to the point of you know that you loving yourself will cause you to want to live the way God would have you to live, and therefore you could live and love others as God loves you. So, you know, we discussed that. Last week we dealt with forgiveness of ourselves, forgiveness of God, forgiveness of everybody that has hurt you, harmed you in any way, shape, or form. Forgiveness. And people sometimes cringe when I say forgive God. Well, let me tell you one more time. In dealing with forgiving God, that comes from the fact that we have blamed God. Hear me say to God, we have blamed him for a lot of our issues, a lot of our problems, a lot of our depression and concerns. And so we have blamed God. And so as long as you got it in your head that God is the reason that you are in a negative state, you need to forgive God, even though God didn't do anything wrong. You hear me? You need to do this for your mind's sake. You know, Father, I forgive you. But hear me, saints, when I said you got to forgive yourself, you ask God to forgive you for even thinking those things about him, thought those things about him. So, but God, in my head, let me forgive you that you let this happen, that I didn't see your protection in this situation. I didn't see it, God. So I'm forgiving you, but then forgive me for blaming you, Lord God. Forgive me for blaming you. So those are the kind of conversations we've been having lately. Also, you know, on Heart to Heart, we have done a lot of discussions with our couples our married folks, and I know I've got a lot of singles on this line. We also have many married people on this line, and we've done a lot of discussions on marriage and how we should cooperate with one another, how we should live according to the word of God in relationship one to the other and so forth. And during our discussions about loving yourself, Miles Monroe said that one of the greatest loves that we can have or the greatest ministries we could have is singleness, you know, singleness, being single. And that, believe it or not, as he spoke about the being single, it was singleness of mind, singleness of heart. You know, you can be married and still be single. Now, listen to this. Listen. Hear me. Be married and still being single, but that type of singleness is my singleness in how I am worshiping God, okay? Not I'm single and do not have to consider my mate, but I'm single in how I am worshiping God. Okay, I can't blame my mate on my lack of worship. Praise be unto God. I can't blame him. But if I have my own relationship with God, that is your singleness in your marriage, you having your own relationship with God. And so, but today, what I really want to look at, and for you married folks that are on this line, yes, you can definitely be a part of it. You have to be a part of it. But I want to look at what were the advantages of being single? What were the advantages? What were the benefits of being single? And for my scripture reference for today, I'm looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There's so much. Paul gave us so much in Corinthians chapter 7. And if you will allow me to read some of it, So I'm going to deal with marriage and singleness. And so, again, this is one of, to me, this is one of the most important chapters in the Word of God when it comes to us dealing with relationships, In this chapter, we're going to hear about the principles of being married, and we're going to hear about being single. And those are the only two positions as a human that we're going to live when it comes to our personal relationships. We're either going to be married or we're going to be single. And I'm not talking about those that choose a third road where we are living together. You're living together. You will have a sense of commitment as if you were married, or you're living together and you have a sense of, I'm not committed in this. We're just two single people living together. Either way, we're either going to be single or married. So let's look here at what the Word of God says in chapter 7 of Corinthians. Paul said, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, each man has his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." Let me stop there for a minute. Right there, when it is said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, this is speaking about in his singleness, in him not being married, so that he does not fornicate, or if he's having a relationship with a married woman, he does not help her to commit adultery. Okay? So it is good for you not to touch a woman. But nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them to remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, hear me. If you cannot exercise self-control, praise be unto God, and to the widows, that would be widows and widowers, those who were married, if you cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. I have been saying that past few years. I have been saying that more than I can tell you. Do not stay in a state of an unmarried state if you cannot exercise self-control. If you just must be sexually involved with someone, it is better for you to marry. And I'm gonna go on, but it's not better for you to marry just any old body. So self-control goes a long way in this, beloved. Okay, verse 10. Now to the married I command you, yet not I but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. Hear ye. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, says, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. A woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. Excuse me. But if an unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do we know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one of us, as the Lord has called each one, let him walk. So I ordained in all churches, anyone called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments is what matters. Keeping the commandments is what matters. Let's jump down to verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But I say this, time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who wept as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as those who did not rejoice, those who buy as those who did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of the world is passing away. I'm trying to get to the one part here. But I want you without care, He who is unmarried to care for the Lord, how he pleases the Lord. He who is married cares for the things of the world and how he pleases his wife. So listen, y'all, as we think about benefits of being single, those that are unmarried, you know, you will concentrate on the things of the Lord. But those that are married, you're concentrating on the things of the world and how you please your mate. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world and how she pleases her husband. And this I say unto your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly towards his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she's at liberty to marry whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I have the Spirit of God. In other words, you know, he said, I'm saying this, but I believe I have the Spirit of God in what I'm saying in this. All right, saints of God. So those of you that are looking at marriage and singleness, please go back and study 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Please go back and study it. Now, so we again are looking at the advantage of being single, the advantage of being single. One of the greatest things in the advantage of being single is the fact of you being able to deepen your relationship with God. You have time to spend quality time with God. We can do this without being without being interrupted by the things of life that a husband and a wife must contend with. We have uninterrupted time of prayer and meditation. We have time for personal worship. It is a time to cultivate our relationship with God. It's a time where spiritual growth comes about in a manner that it takes more effort for it to come about in a marriage relationship. You would be surprised. I mean, I've been both married and single, and I know the difficulties, you know, and I was married also. First of all, let me say I got married at the age of 17. So I was married to an unsaved person. In fact, I was unsaved and didn't realize I was unsaved. And hear me when I say I didn't realize it. It was because I've been in church all my life. And when I say all my life, I don't remember a time when I wasn't in church. So all I can think of that it had to be before my mother gave birth to us. So I had been in church all of my life. So when I got married at 17, I was saved in my head. I was saved in my head, in my mind. I was saved. I married a man that was unsaved. I knew, you know, what the things that I dealt with as a married person, and to the point that in my spiritual growth, in my trying to honor God and my love for this man, I remember the day that he told me it was God or him. And thanks to God, for 2 years, I chose him. Okay? I chose him. Now, you see the difference. If I was single, there would not have been a question. There would not have been a question. It would have been me and God all the way. And after that time, when I, like the like the prodigal son, I came to my senses and went running back home. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for making such a terrible mistake of thinking that this man could do more for me, God, than what you were doing. And not just doing for me, you did everything. You gave your son for me. And so therefore, Lord God, it is you I love. It is you I want to serve. It is you, Father God. And so then my love, my attention, the time that I spent now goes back to God. Did I stop taking care of the husband? No. But I no longer let me trying to gain his love and all of that stuff that I tried to do, no longer was that as important as me honoring the Father. So when you're single, you don't have to deal with that type of mess. You don't have to worry about things. Even if God called you as a single person, you know, in looking at Corinthians chapter 7, there are those that have been gifted with the gift of singleness. Some of these people would be some that were called to the Catholic faith, those that were monks, those that were missionaries to a place where they knew that they would be martyrs and give up their lives for the sharing of the gospel. You have to have a gift to be single to do some of these things and understand that is a good place for those that are gifted. But we all are not gifted for that of singleness. There are those that were created to be wives and husbands and so forth. So you've got to know what gift it is. You are gifted for marriage or you're gifted for singleness. And whichever one you're gifted for, God, again with the Holy Spirit, will give you the help that you need to walk in either one of those places. So again, your spiritual growth as a single person is deep, is marvelous, is uninterrupted. You don't feel like you're neglecting your mate. You're not neglecting your children, but you're open to do the things that God says to do without question. Your personal development and understanding your purpose. Being single is a time to discern the calling on your life. Again, in a career, in your ministries, in different forms of service, you can do this without considering a mate. You can do this. When we are married, saints of God, we always have to take in consideration, how is this going, how is my decision going to affect my husband, my wife, my children, whatever the case may be. Always have to take those things in consideration. And prayerfully, if you're married, you are married to a man and or woman that loves the Lord, where again, you two can come into agreement and walk as God would have you to walk. If you're single, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter. There are going to be the times as a married person that you're going to have to make a decision that your husband and or wife will not be in agreement with. And you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to work with y'all when you're walking out of that place of agreement. I'm telling you that there's something to the singleness. You know, people in the church, people in our families make it look like there's a sin and us being single. What's wrong with her? Why can't she have a husband? Why can't she keep a husband? What's wrong with him? You know, this is the one that I really cringe when I even got ready to say it. But for a man to be single, one of the first things, you know, besides people saying, okay, he's staying single so he can whore around and sleep with whomever he wants to sleep with and not have a commitment to anybody and so forth and so on, you know, they come to the thing, is he gay? Why isn't he married? He must be gay. You know, no, saints of God. There's some men and women that have been called and blessed with the gift of singleness. And there's nothing wrong with being single. Let me stop right now for a moment to say, beloved, those who may have chimed in after we got started, you're listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And this is Apostle Etta Banks, the pastor of New Vision for Life. And I thank God that in our ministry, our hope, and what we also are hoping to do even on this line, is that in discussing the things we discuss, that you get a new vision for life, that you get a new vision for life. If you decide that you want to say something, please press 1 on your keypad, and we will invite you into conversation, a heart-to-heart conversation. And I know I've got some singles on this line. Again, we want to hear from you as well. Now, also, as a single person, you are able to strengthen other relationships. You are able to strengthen relationships in your church community, in your friendships, in your family connections. You're able to strengthen those relationships without, again, any interference from someone else. You're able to mentor and be mentored. You are able to be available, you know, to others who need to seek guidance. And again, I'm speaking to men and women of God, okay? And this is what to anybody, but to men and women of God, you've got the love of the Lord in you. You've got, and you are in your 30s, 40s, et cetera. And here we have in the church young men and women that need to be mentored in their singleness. You are more available to mentor them than a husband or a wife who has to take time from their family to do the mentoring. You have more time to do so. You also have time for you to be mentored, for you to seek guidance and so forth and so on. So you're able to strengthen relationships in your singleness. There's a financial benefit to being single. And there's definitely a financial benefit to being married if you're marrying somebody that's got their financial portfolio together. But you, as a single person, you have control over all your financial decisions. You cannot blame anyone for the decisions that you make financially. You can't give anybody any credit for the decision. You have to understand about your Christian stewardship, being a good steward. I know that as a single person, you know, it's much easier to tithe and to give offering and so forth without a husband and or a wife saying, why are you giving all your money to the church? Why every time I turn around, you trying to bless somebody else financially? Why this, that, and the other when it comes to the money? You have control over your financial decisions. So, yes, there is a blessing to being single. And then you look at the contentment that you have in trusting God in his timing, learning contentment, embracing our singleness. It helps us to learn how to trust in God even the more, how to allow God's plan and the timing of God, saying, God, I trust you. Yes, I desire to be married, Father. It is a desire of my heart, but I wait on you. I wait on you. So, Father, help me to embrace this time with you. Help me, Lord God, to prepare to be the wife or the husband that you would have me to be for the person that you are sending my way. I read somebody's interest on something that they put on Facebook, and they said something like, dear husband to be. It was from a woman. Dear husband to be, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember it exactly, but I am being put together and molded and being shaped to be the wife that you deserve, the wife that God has planned for you. You know, so I'm embracing this time, basically, with the Lord so that he can heal me of all of my hurts and my wounds of the past and the previous relationships and so forth, you know, so that I can be the wife that God wants me to be for you. Because the word says that he who finds a wife. So she wrote this to her husband-to-be so that when he finds a wife that is prepared to be his wife. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. Beloved, it is not a sin to be single. It is not a sin to be single. And in this also, in that taking care of us physically, our health, our emotional health, physically, mentally, aligning ourselves with the principle of honoring our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit. So many times when we're involved with everybody, anybody, whatever the bodies are concerned, we're not taking care of this body. And this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so as a single person, I can spend more time doing this, not feeling once again that I'm neglecting somebody else. It gives me a time and my personal relationship with the Lord to seek his peace, to become strong emotionally. It is an awesome time that we could spend God, an awesome time that we could spend with God. It is not a curse to be single. We grow in our faith. We grow in our community. We grow in our ministries. We grow in every single aspect of our lives. We are able to grow in these. Am I saying you cannot grow in this as a single person? No, I am. I mean, as a married person, no, I am not saying that. I am saying that it takes a different spin on it. I am saying you have to consider others. I am saying that in your singleness, you can find Father, Abba Father, and understand the love of the Father. You will understand how much he loves you, and therefore you can learn to love yourself. Praise be unto God. You can discern how to love yourself, and then you are therefore now able to love your neighbor, love your husband and or wife to be, and love them in the manner in which God wants you to love them. Because you would have truly understood the love that God has for you. Not that, again, you don't find that in a marriage, but love, how much easier it is to go into a relationship knowing that you are loved, that you are cared for, that you are in a place where you won't accept any old anything from anybody who just comes along and says, I love you. You'll know the difference. You will know the difference. Beloved, I pray that as you listen to this today, that those of us that are single, some of us have regretted the fact of being single, but those of us that are single, please understand that it is not a curse. It is a blessing. It's a blessing. It is a gift from God. And in that singleness, not all of us have been designed to be single for our entire life. We must embrace the process of our singleness as God is preparing us to be united and to become one with someone else. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, I pray that because nobody hit the one button, that y'all were just so engrossed sometimes, okay, here we go. Praise God. Hold on one moment. Good morning, woman of God. Your last four digits, 0069. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Oh, all is well. All is well, Apostle. My God, this is Prophet Milton. Oh, my God. I'm telling you this morning, I have not heard a teaching like this in years. When I mean years, I mean years. This word that I heard this morning need to be worldwide. And I speak that over you now in the name of Jesus Christ, that God will take this work, the work of your hands, that you have, whatever God has done in your life, how many years you've been doing this, but I pray right now in the name of Jesus that God will use you to take this word, this ministry to the world, to the nation. To the nation, because people all over the world need to hear what I heard this morning for the very first time. I know about the teaching, but not in this way. And I'm telling you, it was off the chain. I mean, I was driving the whole time, but I pulled over twice to hear. But I'm telling you, it's like, I can't even explain it. And I pray that the people of God on this line today will receive every word and do not let nothing leave out of your spirit. And I'm telling you, I'm 70 years old, and I've never been married. But I heard somebody say, yes, I desire, even in my age right now. But age is just a number of people say. But now I'm wondering, amen, do I really want to get married? Am I married material? And even especially after your teaching, especially what I heard this morning, am I purpose to be married or my purpose to be single? You know, and I thank the Lord. I heard somebody say several years ago, I'd rather wait long than to be wrong.
Yes.
So I thank God just for hearing that. I've been waiting a long time in my terminology of years. But listen, I'd rather wait long than to be wrong. Because there's so many saints of God, amen, that are having divorces. They're divorces. They get married and then I stay. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. That's divorce.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want to have to fight, amen, on a Sunday morning, go to church with another faith, amen, and preach. I don't want that. I don't want that because I don't want all that crazy. And I truly believe that God would not allow me to be single all these years and turn around and marry somebody crazy. He will not allow that to happen to me, and I believe that. But I'm telling you this morning, my eyes and my ears have been opened even the more. I don't know if I'm married material right now. If I do, if God give me a husband, it's not about sex right now. This ain't, come on now. It's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the gospel. It's about being covered when I'm out there by myself and being bamboozled. Amen. In the ministry, being bamboozled. Amen. Those that are going to preach it. Amen. Taking advantage of it. That's my own desire. Amen. It's to be married for someone to cover me. Cover me.
Yes,
the loving. Yes, I would love to be loved. I do desire to be loved. But I'm telling you what I heard this morning. God
Jesus.
Bless you, Apostle. God bless you, woman of God. I mean, I've been missing out. If you've been teaching for a while, I've been missing out. But I do deserve, amen, desire the recording so I can hear it over and over again and then study in 1 Corinthians 7. I got to go back and study that because maybe it's something I'm missing. And 70 years, come on now. I do know I have been selfish. I know that. I know I can be selfish because of the fact, you know, I mean, no. I've been that way, and I know being single for all these years, it would be hard for me to be submissive. I know it, but God would allow that to happen in my life. I would have to humble myself, amen, to be submissive to a husband, to my mate. So God's working on that too. But in the meantime, I know who God has made me a strong woman of God. So I think, well, it's not easy sometimes, but I ask God every day to keep my mind. Keep my mind.
Yes.
Keep me happy. Keep me safe. Keep me sanctified. Because it's a whole lot of tall drink of water out there, a whole lot of tall glass of water out there. So you know what? I got to be sanctified because the enemy, he don't care. He will try you. He will, I don't care.
Yes,
you know,
he will.
A title don't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mean nothing to that flesh. Because that flesh.
There's
a lot of fleshy mess going on out there. A lot of flesh in the pulpit right now. And I do not want to be part of it. Amen. So God bless you, Apostle. I love you to life. Amen. This was awesome teaching. God bless you.
God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us, Prophetess Milton. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. We have another caller on the line. Your last four digits are 3149. God bless you, woman of God. How are you today?
Amen. I'm blessed, woman of God. And that previous caller, she stirred up the fire in me, Apostle. Hallelujah.
Ooh, praise
yes,
God.
Yes. Apostle, you lit the matches. Glory, glory to God. Back to the basics. Amen. You went back
Amen.
To the basics, just like you said, building a strong foundation. I only chimed
yes.
in just simply because I'm a married woman, and I'm grateful to God for it. Amen. However,
Amen.
I just wanted to chime in to encourage that single lady. I just wanted to chime in and tell her, keep on trusting God. Keep on trusting God. But Apostle
Amen.
Is not a and Apostle, I thank God that this has your whole topic, just going back to the basics and just going on with what God is downloading, uploading, and revealing to you. This is a great start. And to God be the glory. It's a great start, and it's needed because the body of Christ, not just the body of Christ, the world needs to know about good relationships, and to God be all the glory. Amen.
Amen, beloved. Thank you so very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen. I do thank these two women of God, and I know both of them personally. So when I say woman of God, I'm just not using the term, you know, a cliche. I know these women, and I thank God for them, you know, chiming in and sharing, you know, what the Lord placed in them to share. I thank God for Prophetess Milton, you know, and her transparency. This is heart-to-heart, saints of God, heart-to-heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. To God be the glory. I am just so grateful again for each one of you coming on Saturday mornings. Listen, always, I encourage you all the time, please share with your neighbors, share with a friend. You may have to call somebody and on three-way, you know, who said, okay, I'll listen, and they never pick up the phone. Call them one Saturday morning on three-way and hook them in so they can hear what it is. You'd be surprised, beloved, at some of the conversations that we have. One of the ones that we got a lot of feedback on, and we did for several weeks, and it was dealing with sex and the Christian woman. And I'm telling you, the questions that Christian women have dealing with sex, can I do this? Should I do this? What about this? And so forth and so on. Look, we got the same questions that unsaved women have, and it's not talked about enough in the church. It's not talked about enough, but it is part of our life. It is part of our living. And so, yes, here on Heart to Heart, we will discuss those things. I also encourage each one of you, if there's something that you want to discuss, an open forum, or you want to hear what it is that the Holy Spirit will show me through the Word of God, what His heart is on it, and you would like to hear what our brothers and sisters on this line have to say about it, send me an email. Send me an email send me an email at Evangetta. That's E as in Edward, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, G as in George, E-T-T-A, Evangetta at MSN.com. You can do that. You can go to Facebook and look me up on Facebook, Etta Stevens Banks. Look me up on Facebook. Leave me a notice. You can also go on our church webpage at www.newvisionforlife.com. You can go there. You can go on our Heart to Heart webpage on Facebook. Is it on Facebook? I think it is on Facebook. Heart to Heart has a page, I believe. But you can find me. Just look for me. Send me a message. And I will see what we can do to get your thoughts and ideas, the show that you want to hear, on our show. Thanks to God, we have run out of time. I love you. I appreciate you to the utmost. Meet me back here next Saturday morning on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.